Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, Kalen Patterson, Midwest Muscle P4P Real Talk in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one drug-free sponsorship foundation in all of the world. And if you are a drug-free athlete and are looking for a solid foundation to stand on and a vehicle to drive your goals like a Mack truck through ice cream, and since Dev ain't here, I got to go with that snickerdoodle sprinkle right there. And we're going to enjoy it with that protein because I know we're still working out at home. I know you guys are. But anywho, this is still part of the what's going on, what's happening, and what's the future for basically this station and natural bodybuilding, because both are very vital to my life, I'm sure as many others. And I don't stand alone when saying I miss them dearly. So with that in mind, I'm going to introduce Leif Anderson, one of the most ahead of the game individuals that I've met in the natural bodybuilding sport and arena. And he's also one of the pioneers that always looks for that next opportunity to increase and improve the sport. So please welcome Leif Anderson. Leif, how you doing, brother?
Kalen, my man, how's it going, my friend?
It's going pretty good. It's
good.
It's
good.
A different time, different atmosphere, but I noticed the people that have been motivated have stayed motivated. The ones who were basically, say straddling the fence as to what they were going to do and if they were really sincere about their intentions, that's been shown, and there's some very angry people because they just don't know what to do. So a lot of misinformation has been going wild everywhere. Natural bodybuilding, sadly, has fallen prey to that, you know, with, you know, the what ifs and what may happen and what coulda, what shoulda. But I want to get in touch with you guys to find out, you know, what's the real deal? Because, you know, there was people saying that the burden for any show that was put on this year was going to fall solely on the athletes with double and triple fees and fines or late fees and stuff like that. I know that's not true. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be somebody that, you know, has to do it if they want to show this year, but not for the organizations. I haven't seen one organization put that information out, and I've checked my emails daily, so I know if it was up until now, it still hasn't happened. I know you're not one of them. As much as you were hoping to have shows going as early as March, it didn't happen. But you didn't say, you know, well, then, you know, I got to make my ends meet and this, that, whatever. So just fill everybody in on what you've been doing, you know, how the shows are going to be going in the future when they finally give us a chance. And one of the things that I really need to stress is the promoter is not the venue owner. So you fall victim to that as well. So just express some of those things and put these people's minds at ease, because it's really not as bad as people are saying, and fear should not be dominating all aspects of our lives.
Absolutely. You know, my little disclaimer here, my views probably are not going to be most popular in the sport. They really never have. You know, one of the taglines we have with our Natty Revolution events, you know, passion over profit. You know, and although that rolls off the tongue, it's always been more than just words to us. So when it comes to the fear of promoters, federations jacking up the prices, you know, as a business to survive, that's one thing that has never been and will never be in my vocabulary. You know, I'm in this for the passion of the sport, the longevity, and to grow our fitness family. And I know that, although that's, I can't speak for everybody, I know that there are many, many individuals in many federations that feel the same way. There's some federations that may feel that they're going to make the business decision to, you know, have the athletes finance the struggles that we're all encountering. I won't be doing that. And I have to imagine a majority of the federations, majority of the shows won't be doing that either. You know, with all of the hurdles that we're all encountering, whether it's prepping through the apocalypse, you know, trying to promote a show, you know, during this pandemic, there are obvious hurdles that we're all going to encounter. But I wholeheartedly believe, though, that 2020 is going to be an amazing opportunity. I really think that this year is going to be an opportunity to become one of the most inspirational moments in the history of our sport. I mean, even in a perfect world, prepping for a show or promoting a top tier show is very difficult. You know, just imagine the amount of perseverance, you know, and not just physical, but also mental fortitude that it's going to require for these drug-free athletes to grace the stage. I mean, this is we are setting the stage for an unbelievable story that even a few months ago we would think is complete fiction. I mean, so somebody couldn't write a story with this much excitement building. Now, again, I can't dismiss people's fear that they're experiencing right now because it's real. I think that those struggles, I mean, as cliche as it is, we don't without a little bit of rain, you can't appreciate the sunshine. And I know with every ounce of my being, as we fast forward a little bit, we've still got quite a bit to go through. But I believe when the dust settles, that this is going to be such an incredible story and a testament of what natural bodybuilding is all about. And it's probably going to do a lot to actually separate us from the enhanced athletes, from the untested federations, because we can hang in there. We're not factoring in pharmaceuticals or cycles or, you know, if a show is canceled, it's not like if we're doing this naturally, our sport, natural bodybuilding, it goes so far beyond just the stage, and that's forgotten so often. So I really think that this pandemic, this global pandemic that we're all experiencing, with shows being canceled last minute, with gyms being closed down, I really think this is our time, the natural bodybuilding community, it's our time to shine and really showcase to the world, not just our aesthetics, but the foundation of what our sport was built upon, which is health and wellness, you know, and that's what we need. Yes. I mean, say what you want about vaccines and everything, health and wellness, it's going to save lives. So the point of that rambling was, I really think that this is, let's get through it, but I really feel that there's a pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. So I'm excited at what 2020 has in store. Obviously, when it comes to the sport, we're going to, you know, whether I agree with the restrictions, the executive stay-at-home orders and the restrictions that are put in place, whether we agree with them or not, it's really irrelevant. They're there. So as a sport, you know, as a league, as a business, however you want to, you know, view this, we need to be able to adapt, you know, because if we don't adapt, we're going to die. I really feel that, you know, we have such incredible minds and hearts within the natural body community. I know that we're going to be able to do this. And I really feel it's going to be a lot easier than a lot of what people think it's going to be. I mean, we look at the evolution of natural bodybuilding over the last, say, 5 years. You know, 5 years ago, the industry standard was split format, you know, prejudging, night show. Now we had already kind of, you know, evolved into single format live judged. So that's going to make, you know, if we have to be accountable for spectators or numbers or segmented classes and divisions, we're already a little bit comes to
going that way. That's right.
If going that way, obviously we've never had to look at it through those eyes, you know, through the social distancing eyes, but that single format live judged format is meant, you know, it's built for something that we could implement social distancing to minimize competitors within the venue, you know, just to make sure that we have so many competitors at any given time. You know, we probably, you know, who knows what the fall has in store, but as venues start opening and we start having shows earlier in the season here, I have to imagine, now all this is speculative, we don't know. We don't know what things we have to address. Now, I know that for my events that are still in the calendar right now, we will adhere to all CDC guidelines, and I know that we can address each one of them. We're flexible, and we have a plan into place. You know, I would love for the restrictions to be lifted and we would just adhere to CDC guidelines, because I believe that I can run a show and many federations, many promoters can run a show without ever compromising the safety and health of our athletes or our fans. You know, these earlier shows are probably going to have to be without spectators. I mean, just it definitely simplifies things. So like moving forward with the earlier events, that may not be the case, but I'm expecting that to be the case. Just have athletes and staff only. One of the things that I've done is I've hired actually a world-class live stream production team to be at our events, so we can air the show to all the athletes, friends, family, and fans. You know, you've experienced my events firsthand, and we always add a little production value. We want to create some excitement. Right, we want to create an experience for the fans. And even without spectators in seats, we still don't want to lose that aspect that our shows are known for. So we'll be live streaming the shows, professionally live streaming the shows, you know, worldwide through that live stream. Most likely all shows, including mine, those segmented divisions, you know, so hypothetically like noon will be men's bodybuilding, 12:45 will be figure, you know, just so we have a nice flow of athletes only needing to be in the venue at a certain time. You know, all staff, you know, whether you believe in masks and their effectiveness or not, that's irrelevant what you believe. There's things that we do. Not to belittle anybody's concern, because like we're all entitled to our own thoughts on this, but I never want to infringe on somebody else's beliefs because of what I feel. I'm not a big believer in masks for healthy individuals, but I want to make sure everybody knows that we are taking necessary precautions. So all of my staff will be in masks. That's a very small thing that we can do, and even if it actually doesn't physically do something, it gives the athletes peace of mind. So having all athletes and all the staff in masks is a great idea, very easily done. The other thing that I'm planning on doing as our shows move forward is have scheduled athlete check-in times on Friday. So in addition to staff in masks, during athlete check-in, all staff will actually be in gloves as well, and we'll be changing out the gloves in between athletes. We have a nurse on staff for athlete check-in, and we actually have – I purchased a no-contact infrared thermometer. So at athlete check-in, we'll be taking all athlete temperatures with a strict protocol in place if anybody has that elevated temperature. You know, we're striving to make sure that every single aspect of our show, our interaction with the competitors – is addressed with their safety and health as the number one priority. And I hope in doing this, this will give the athletes peace of mind and the powers that be to kind of control the, you know, opening up these public forums. I hope they realize that we just want to resume a sport that we love and a sport that we need. I mean, this is a psychological outlet. A lot of people look at our sport as something superficial, but you know, Kaylin, I mean, it goes so much deeper. We need this.
Yes, it does.
I mean, mind, body, and soul, we need this back. So I want to make sure that we are doing it. Hopefully every promoter is doing the same thing, where we're not just opening the floodgates and, okay, here's our shows. I mean, we will do whatever we need to do, but I would love the opportunity to show that we can actually do this and do this right.
Well, one of the things that Dez and I have spoken about it on the show quite a few times, but I keep hearing this same slow. It makes no sense when people keep saying they want to get back to normal. And I said the normal paradigm has changed, and we need to look at that if we're going to look at it realistically. And, you know, from what I'm hearing with the promoters, what you just said is groundbreaking. That's a lot of new information. But it's moving forward. You know, not basically saying, all right, we're going to get the venue back open, get people in here, and do business as usual, because business has changed. And I don't think people are grasping that fully, full understanding that, you know, you have parameters that you have to fall under. And if you have to fall under them, then, heck, the competitors have to fall under them as well. And I love the fact that you're saying, you know, what your beliefs are irrelevant. It's what's being asked and demanded from everybody in society. So, you know, we can't come with this selfish ideology that, you know, I want to do this. It has to be what is acceptable in society as a whole. And normal,
and I think,
is
like,
no longer.
And Kaylin, you hit the nail. I'm sorry to interrupt. Like, you know how excited I get, you know, chatting about something that we both love. But I apologize. But like, you hit the nail on the head, though. We can talk. We can sit and talk all we want about how it should be, or to be idealistic in the way that, you know, it should be this way or that way. The thing is, that's not the way it is. So if you spend all your focus on, you know, kind of being stubborn to allow the sport to evolve, our sport isn't going to go anywhere. Thing is, if you refuse to adapt your business model, you will die. And some, I shouldn't use the word die, you will fall by the wayside and become obsolete, while other federations and shows rise to the top. Our sport is not going anywhere. Our athletes, our drug-free athletes, are not going anywhere. They're going to be here. They're just going to be a part of a new model of what our sport is all about. You know, and it's either you adapt, migrate, or die. You know, those are the three evolutionary options. If we don't change the way we are approaching this, you will become obsolete as a show, as a federation, as a promoter, whatever it may be.
Yes. Well, the word of the day is going to be paradise, because I think if people would look that word up and realize that life goes on and we're still living, so we're going to be doing the same thing. It's just that there's new focus, new parameters, and a new understanding. The mindset is the same, health and wellness, like you said, because, you know, it's sad that we've heard some of the statements that have been made, because they're very callous in saying, well, I'm fit, so I should get to do whatever. Yeah. And I said, well, that sounds good on paper until you're interacting with people that don't know that they are at risk or have issues. And I applaud, you know, them saying we have to put things in place to make sure people are protected. And as I was talking with you about this on before the show started, I was very saddened and very disappointed that they didn't interact with the community to find out the best way to keep these businesses open, keep basically people working in a safe environment. They just said, because we don't have anything in place, no one gets to do anything. And I think that's where a lot of the frustration and anger is coming from. But like you're saying, people still have to be protected. If it's one person dying, I don't want it to be someone I know. That's for sure. And I, you know, I've already had three that have passed from this, and it's not getting any easier. And the fact that, you know, the parents and the families can't be at the funerals is incredibly crushing. And
absolutely,
being, you know, the significant other and being locked in your home for 2 or 3 weeks until, you know, you're considered safe to be around. All of these things are real. They're very real. And because that happens, then they have to have new safety parameters. I get it. But you should have interacted with the community at least one point. It's been over 30 days, and I have yet to see anything on my email. Like I said, I check them daily. I haven't seen anything other than my own personal phone calls to the representatives, to the city council, and stuff like that. And basically, they're just waiting for somebody else to speak up. And I said, the community is yelling, and no one's there in them, so why would we be waiting for anything else? Aside from that, people are still dying, and we need to understand that, even though it's not us. Because, you know, like you were saying, this is a very good spot for the people who don't understand the benefits of good health and year-long health, not just getting ready for a wedding or vacation or some trip. You know, this is something that's a lifelong thing and everyday thing all week long, all year. And this is one of the side effects of good health, is not being at risk like everyone else is. And, you know, so we can applaud ourselves for being healthy, but we can't dissuade ourselves from understanding that there's people that could get sick. And I think that's where you're touching on, with the understanding that these guidelines have to be in place so everyone is protected, not just the people we have on stage or backstage or wanting to compete.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, and you got, I'm just kind of thinking out loud, it's been a while since I've talked to you, Kaylin. Long overdue. So I was very excited at the opportunity to come on here. But another thing is, you know, we see so many people out there taking precautions for their health.
Yes.
And what I hope is, when, like, the coronavirus, COVID's not going away, but when it falls off the headlines and we resume our lives, I hope it's not forgotten that the number one preventative measure for this or something like this is to be healthy. So
yeah,
these individuals that are wearing masks and they're wearing gloves and they're isolating in their homes out of fear, and they're doing everything, literally everything they can to stay healthy. I hope when these stay-at-home orders are lifted and the world resumes, because the world is going to move forward, I hope one of the first places they go, once it opens, is into a gym. They learn how to eat healthy. They learn how to exercise, because it's that lifelong commitment to yourself, not just to look good.
Yes.
But this is biology. This is what we're meant for, to be healthy, to not get on stage in posing trunks and flex. It's to stay alive. You know, and that's the missing component that people just don't realize. And I hope, whether it is, you know, with Iron Man magazine reaching the masses now, or the public outreach that so many promoters and athletes and federations have reaching the public, I really hope that even if somebody has no desire ever to step on stage, I hope they can still learn that embracing our lifestyle, what we do, not 12 weeks before a show, but what we do 12 months out of the year, that's what this is about. So we have an amazing opportunity, whether that's vision, whether that dream becomes a reality, I don't know. But I really hope that vision becomes a reality for many people, that light bulb goes off and they become aware of the fact that if you try to do, I'm trying to think of what the saying is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Instead of just waiting or like trying to fix ourselves when we get sick or take precautions when there's a pandemic, why not just be preventative? You know, give your body a fighting chance. No, the human body is such an amazing, amazing creation. We need to give it at least a fighting chance. And if we do that, now there's always outliers. There's always a risk of anybody becoming sick. I mean, that is the reality of the situation.
Yes.
But stack the odds in your favor, though. I mean, it truly is as simple as that. And that's why I love you and Des having this podcast and reaching people that are, you know, not just in your areas, but reaching them globally. I mean, you are changing and you are saving lives, giving them the tools that they need to protect themselves and dominate this age. You know, that's a nice icing on the cake. But, I mean, the foundation of it is it's saving their lives.
Well, everybody in life works better when they have goals. And health is no different. And, you know, having that apple after fertilizing and growing that tree and seeing all the work that's gone through it and then getting some fruit at the end, that's not a bad deal. And, you know, let me read what Dorothy put to me, because she's got a good point on this one. I'm a lifelong gym addict. And congratulations to that, Dorothy. And she says, when the gym shut down, it seemed like my health got worse. Isn't that what we're trying to avoid? I'll let you answer that, and then I'll piggyback.
Well, absolutely. You know, I think a lot of it, you know, the stigmas people, you know, I'll say society puts on the gym, and we've heard it on social media platforms. When one of our fitness family, you know, it shares their frustration and their desire to get back to the gym, it's almost deemed as being selfish, or we're just meatheads.
Yes.
You know, they don't understand. Now, was that a physiological, you know, deterioration of health in that short of time? Probably not. But you can't just dismiss it and say that it was psychological and it didn't exist. I mean, we know for a fact when it comes to depression and all these other, you know, the endorphins being released, the exercise promotes just that general sense of well-being, that feeling, that euphoria that we get, that we, I mean, that's why we lived. You know, that's what got us hooked. That's the bug that we caught in a good way, that put our lives in a whole new trajectory. And we miss it. We take that away forcefully, and we miss that. And our health and our immune system, as a result of that, is compromised. You know, that's where the frustration is. And I wish more people realize that. You know, we look at all these five-phase plans that are now being released, six-phase plans, and the gyms are one of the, like, the last places to open. And it's asinine. It really is. It's absolutely asinine. And I hope, you know, we've been speaking up quite a bit, and I have a feeling that it's going to continue to fall on deaf ears. And I don't want anybody to have any, like, legal recourse or anything, but I really feel, and this is just my two cents, I really feel that we are going to have to maybe nudge things in the right direction by action, and actually start opening the places that we feel need to be open, you know, and hopefully that moves things in the right direction. And hopefully that's the right call from a safety point of view. We don't know. I mean, I'm not a dumb man, but I'm not Nostradamus. Like, none of us can predict the outcome of action, you know, actions or reactions. But I really feel that having a fitness facility open, and obviously taking the necessary precautions. Again, we just don't want to open, you know, and have a free for all. Take necessary precautions, but to have these, it's going to do nothing but promote health. It's going to do nothing but help people fight if they do get infected at any point in their lives. I mean, this gives it gives the human body a fighting chance, physiologically as well as psychologically, and does great for our mental health. You know, to boost our immune system. And
well, see, this is one of the things that I've been talking about. Because you know and I know that the gym, the church, and hospitals are filled with every individual, every culture, every ideology, every understanding, every belief. They're filled with these kind of people that are interacting with each other every time they come in. And yet, for some reason, we forget to ask the very people that are doing their jobs how to keep this safe. And I said, what's wrong with someone stepping into a hospital and saying, okay, how could we apply this to businesses so they can get their doors open? How do we not put people at risk in order to keep them employed and have money coming into their homes? Because people are losing their houses, their jobs. Their small businesses are taking a beating, a shellacking. I mean, I've personally been helping people move their stuff out so they don't have to pay next month's lease because they simply can't afford it. And there's people right in the hospitals that someone should have stepped into the door and talked to them. Hey, what are you guys doing to keep the people safe? And you have all this sickness around you. Can't we do something to implement a shorter version and a much less people version where we can do this for small businesses to keep their doors open? Because, you know, it's amazing that these things are not being asked. And I you know, because everybody's going back and forth about who does what, and it's just complaining. But what going forward is going to solve this? Because I can't imagine a promoter sitting there and saying, you know, we got to get these doors open come hell or high water, but I'm going to keep the same standard that applied before this sickness took effect.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't happening. So I'm a little confused as far as our civil servants not coming to the people to find out, because, you know, there's so much on internet that we could do. There's so many live broadcasts. There's so many interactive ways we can do with it using the social media and not have people. If they want to do the social distancing, hey, if I'm sitting in a house 5 miles away from you and I'm looking dead at you, I'm not anywhere near you. So, you know, there's so many things that can be done, that should be done, and it's not happening, and everyone is suffering from the smallest to the greatest, whether you understand it or not. And any death should be a hurt and a harm to your heart, to where, you know, if it's somebody you don't know, somebody does, and they're suffering, you know. And the selfish ideology has to take a back seat, and we can interact together, even if we have to do compromising ways to make that happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the progressive thinking that you always had, especially when it comes to natural bodybuilding, that you, people like Joe Perez, that, you know, just y'all guys' brains work on a different level. So I know if there's going to be some groundbreaking stuff, it's going to be coming from one of you two or both and everybody else that's forward-thinking, instead of basically this frightening ideology of getting back to normal. I wish we could just tear that out of the group think and the talk and the group speak that we do, because I don't think they really understand how that would damage everyone around them and how it would hurt the nation going forward. Because my dad always say, you can't go forward with backward thinking. What do you think about
mm-hmm.
that?
Absolutely. I mean, it's not only is that a catchy phrase, it's 100% true. Yet over and over again, that is the mentality. It's we're, you know, if we are going to move forward, if our sport is going to evolve, can't use yesterday's thinking, because yesterday's world that we lived in no longer applies. You know, these things that we need to do
yes.
to not just survive, but actually continue to grow, you know, we have to keep open-minded. You know, we have to have an open mind. We have to be flexible, you know, and we have to give up our idealistic vision in a lot of scenarios, because we need to live in the real world. I always want to strive
there
for greatness, to reach their potential, to raise the bar. But we live in this reality. This is the hand that we're dealt. Let's make the most of it. And it is going to require us to work together. It is going to require us to listen to our network, whether that is the government, the representatives who are supposed to be representing us, whether they need to start listening to us, or within our bodybuilding community,
yes.
the federations listening to the athletes and the fans. I want to make sure that our sport, because I'm telling you, our sport is not going to be able to thrive if fans are worried, if athletes are worried. You know, and it just, I want to make sure that collectively that we're all factoring in. You know, it's very little right and wrong. You know, I want to make sure that we're at least considering viewpoints and then
yes.
coming up with what do we do from here? You know, because
exactly.
we know it, like the rules that we've been
there
playing
you
by, you know, pre-apocalypse, we will never be able to go back to that, because we now live in a different world.
And well, I'm going to get to this topic before, because, you know, this show, I mean, I love talking to you, so time flies by. But one of the things that was very saddening to me, definitely disheartening, was to see some of our natural bodybuilding brethren and sisters where they weren't using factual information, just I heard from a friend that heard from a friend.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm just going to put this out there for everybody listening, because I know you guys are. But one of the things that you should always see is a name tag, especially if you're using Facebook, and, you know, the hashtag if you're using Instagram, where you know, the person that's being named can at least be noticed or tagged where they can get their attention and they can respond. If they're not doing that, then I wouldn't put much worth to it because, you know, this is a time where you have the best doing their best and you have the best actors or frauds pretending to do something. And mm-hmm. one of the things that usually happens is they throw people under the bus. This is the one thing I've always seen. When you have a person that's basically a fraud, someone else is to blame. Or they'll use that to throw salt or dirt on somebody to basically have a chance to have a one-up. Anybody that's forward-thinking, forward-giving, progressive-minded is not looking at people behind them or looking at people below them. They're looking straight ahead at how to improve themselves. If that is the understanding, then the wrong you do is irrelevant to what I'm doing unless it factors into my day personally. I don't see the value in diminishing an organization, devaluing a promoter, unless, you know, like they're just flagrant. A good example is the promoter that got caught cheating in another organization and then wanted to stay a promoter. I got no bones with basically burying that person because they were fraudulent to begin with. So I have no sympathy for that, and not just for one drug failure, but many in multiple organizations. So, you know, I'm not talking about that extreme. I'm talking about the people that basically are just throwing salt on somebody because they can see them moving up while they're either standing still or being exposed for the fraud they are. That's the ones I'm talking about. So it's basically, I don't like you, so I'm going to say something bad about you in a time where everybody's suffering because for some reason misery loves company to the point, well, this is acceptable. I'm saying it's always supposed to be unacceptable. Go ahead, Lee.
Yeah, and you know, and that's been going on for, you know, not even in this demographic, you know, just business in general. You know, we all want to be the best, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But many take the approach, they put their time and their effort into trying to have the tallest building by tearing everybody else down. Like, Leif Anders, I want to build the tallest building and bring everybody else up with me. Yet, you know, if a lot of individuals, and again, this goes well beyond the sport of natural bodybuilding, but a lot of, if they even put half the amount of effort into their hustle as they do their hate, they'd be so further along. So I feel you there, and I just wish more of that positive attitude and just that outlook on life about, you know, just trying to lift others up and collectively we win as opposed to, you know, winning at any cost, tearing others down. You know, but with every perceived black eye we have on the scenario that you had mentioned with the promoter failing numerous drug tests, you know, those black eyes, there's usually a knee-jerk emotional response as an industry we have on that. And we're human, so I understand that. But again, those are opportunities for our sport, not every federation, but, you know, for our sport to address a possible issue. And, you know, and I'm not saying we all need to be, you know, the same, you know, unification of the sport, all federations come together, we all use the same banned substance list. That's idealistic. That would be great. The unfortunate reality is that's probably not ever going to happen. But, you know, and that's one of the reasons I know I'm rambling here. But that's one of the reasons why like we partnered with my events. I promote 9 events through, for those that don't know, promote 9 events each season sanctioned by the IMBA, PNBA. For my events, we actually just partnered with the premier third-party drug testing agency in the country, DFSI. And they'll be working with us for all our anti-doping enforcement, as well as as we move forward, as we evolve, they'll be working with us to develop a strategy, a strategic plan to help legitimize and add credibility just to the sport of natural bodybuilding and the testing just as a whole. Because that is one thing that we know, being in the sport as long as we have, we need to legitimize things as a sport. We need to add credibility,
yes,
you know, to our sport and our drug testing. So they'll be helping us do that. With the scenario that you had mentioned, you know, one of the things that they fail for is SARMs, selective androgen receptor modulators.
Oh,
I know that federations have different banned substance lists, but what we find is there are things listed on banned substance lists that are never tested for in some labs, in some federations. And that's one thing that you have to, I mean, it needs to be changed. A federation is free to have whatever banned substance list you want, but if you're going to quote unquote ban something, you need to test it. You need to test for it. And if you're not going to test for it, then why put that on the banned substance list? It really gives the perception that it's just an amateur hour, you know, and that's one thing. I love bodybuilding. I have a passion for bodybuilding. And from the very beginning, I wanted to help legitimize the sport, because I actually remember 7-8 years ago sitting in Chicago in one of the shows that I would come down with my team every single year. And I love our sport, but I sat in the audience thinking, if I were to bring a friend with me that has never been to a show and sat them next to me to experience this, it would almost make it like a joke. You know, there's so many things that our sport has so much potential, but the way we've approached almost every facet of our sport, it's like amateur hour. We need to legitimize things. We need to take a professional touch to every detail, both big and small, in order for this to finally get out of its niche market. You know, health, wellness, this is a multi-billion dollar industry. It reaches, honestly, almost everybody. Yet natural bodybuilding just can't seem to break that niche mold. And I really think it's not because of the sport. It's because of us. It's because of the powers that be within our sport and the decisions that they've made. That is what has prevented us from growing. So I'm very happy that we're using an Olympic lab. We're testing for everything that's on the banned substance list. And I'm going to ramble quite a bit here. The other thing that we implemented for this year is 100% transparency for judging. Now, I've always selected our judging panels for all your events very, very carefully. Make sure that world class panels, unbiased, no coaches on the panel. We're taking it a step further. We're actually making the scorecards public, not just the cumulative scores, but we moving forward. It'll be public what judge scored, you know, what score for each athlete. And that's just to not only have transparency, it's going to, there's accountability there. So if a judge is just not, you know, we're not all cut out to do every task. You know, we have, like, we may love bodybuilding, and there's many things that I may love the sport, but there's a lot of positions that I am just not well equipped to do, you know. And as unfortunate as that is, if we are going to legitimize our sport, we need professionals, whether it be an MC fighter or a judge. I want us to have the best of the best. And if a judging panel is not where that person should be, you know what? Let's find where you excel. You know, so that transparency in scorecards that we're moving forward with serves so many different functions of, you know, for the athletes, they know what, you know, what all the judges thought. As a promoter, I get to see, and again, making this public too, if there was something that I need to address. And it's also self-awareness, where none of our judges are going to be they're not going to be able to hide in the shadows. You know, they may love judging, but and it's easy to keep sitting on judging panels when there's no accountability there. You know, so I think this is going to be a step forward in the right direction. And what I hope is the athletes and fans start to demand this of their shows. Public scorecards where there's accountability of what the judges scored what for each class.
Well, I want to say this because there's two things. First one, before I forget, is transparency is something you've been doing very early on, and I remember the first time one of your shows drug screened me, and I think it was within a week I was getting the results mailed to me.
Always.
So that and it has everything that you're tested for, and trust me, there's a list on it. There, it's a long list of it. It was about 20 minutes me reading and researching about what the heck this stuff was, because some of the things I wasn't even aware of that were illegal. But thank God, on a legal life, you don't really have to worry about that too much. But the SARMs, the second one, that because it was so omitted, I remember an NPC guy saying he was going natural and he was only going to do SARMs. And I was floored because I had reached out to him and been blocked because he thought I was some kind of a stalker or something because I didn't know him. I just saw it on somebody's group page. My name had been tagged in it. But it was the damage done to the internal organs is quite shocking with SARMs. And I think that's why it's such a fear that people are taking it, because there's no worry or concern because, people are doing these shows and they're passing. Because like you said, they're just simply not being tested for that agent. And I was very sad to see that his arms, his legs, and his liver had suffered greatly. And even to being to the point of having them drained of all fluid, and I don't know if anybody's had no fluid in that liver or kidney, but it's very painful. If anybody's had kidney stones, that's it's a lot of pain, and I don't think there's a painkiller made that can alleviate it for a 24-hour duration without killing you, being in that lowered health state. But and then the third one is basically with the transparency for the judging, I definitely applaud, because I've seen many competitors take their best picture and make the best complaint they should have won. But I've been live at shows, and I can tell you, I remember when Dave Yates used to have the show in Bradley Bourbonnais, and this fellow went up against one of his own teammates, and he was livid that he lost. And he never understood, standing side by side, sitting in a judge's seat, there was no way he was going to win. But someone was taking his best pictures. They were taking the pictures where he was isolated. And so there was no side-by-side comparison, and he did look good. Obviously, he deserved to be on stage. Other than that, he was not going to win. But if you saw the pictures, you could say, oh, I can see why he has to complain. But with that transparency and some of the remarks that the judges put down would expose that fallacy very quickly. And because it is, I think it would stop people from being more so outspoken when clearly they are more than wrong. But, just for the sake of pride and ego, they speak out.
Yep. I think, just self-awareness and accountability, those are two traits that I really, I feel are necessary to make it in the sport, because you can feed yourself self-delusion and posting, your best picks during transitions while nobody's in a pose, and you can get some sunshine blown up your butt by your yes men, to put it bluntly, and that's going to make you feel good, but you're not going to make it in the sport. You're going to be spinning your wheels every year, frustrated, scratching your head of why you can't get to where you desire to be. Self-awareness and accountability. It's just those in life. Those are two things in life.
Yes.
If you can hone in on those two character traits, and we all have traits we need to work on. We all,
exactly.
can improve as humans.
Exactly.
But those two things for everybody, if we can really hone in, become aware that we need to work on these things, and it's always going to be a work in progress. But I would love bodybuilding and in life, if even myself, to have more self-awareness and accountability. You know, those are two things that it'll get you far if you can really, really strive to reach your potential with those two traits. You're going to make it. You're going to make it in this world.
And to speak out on your behalf, I've dropped the ball a couple of times, and you've definitely held me accountable for dropping the ball a couple of times. So I know it's not just lip service.
Always out of love, though. It's always out of love. And as my friend, I would expect you to do the same for me. You know, I want to be able to learn and grow. When we're looking at the world through our own eyes, sometimes it gets a little clouded, you know, and the emotions get involved. I need people like you in my life. We all do, to kind of, you know, be that accountability, you know, and just, you know, and just try to create that help open your eyes for that self-awareness to just become a better person. You're an amazing man. And I honestly, from my heart, so thankful and so blessed that I'm a part of your life. You're a part of mine. I wish we saw each other a little bit more, with me being up in Minnesota and you down in the Chicagoland area. but no, I'll always, because I want the best for you. And luckily you had the fortitude of taking whatever I ever have to say in stride. We've never had a bad exchange. Like, our relationship hasn't always been sunshine and rainbows, but every exchange we've ever had, no matter how serious or critical it was, we both came out better because of it. You know, and that's what it's about.
And it works. So, you know, because time's just running by, like I said, reiterate the things that you're going to have in place whenever we are allowed to have these shows. I know the mask was groundbreaking, the gloves, definitely, the body temperature, and there's some others you said I don't want the listeners to forget.
All right, so I know we're short on time, so I'm going to make it quick. In the event that we have plausible scenario, and it's an athlete and staff event only, I still want to make sure that it is an actual experience for you and all of your supporters. So we'll have a world-class production team shooting the show. I would love for that to be free of charge. And I'm all about passion over profit, but I need it, in some areas, I need a little help in order to make things happen. So I would love for it to be free. We don't know that yet, if there's going to be a small charge or if I can pull off making it free. But no matter what, you on stage, your fans will see you. Maybe not in the audience, they may be at home, but they will see you. We will definitely be having single format live judge events with segmented division and class times just to help social distancing. All staff is going to be in masks. Honestly, even for our fall shows, I have to imagine staff will be in masks. We're going to schedule athlete check-in, and we're going to do this as efficiently as possible. The reason we're doing this is to minimize crowds at athlete check-in, and it also gives us the ability to swap out gloves, which we'll be doing. So if we have 100 athletes that are checking in, we are going to have a surplus of gloves, just to make sure that there's no cross-contamination there. We'll have nurses on staff for athlete check-in, taking temperatures, and we will have a strict – and this is another thing – I understand that it's going to be frustrating if you show up for a show feeling a little bit under the weather, because we know this is an extreme sport. You dial in with world-class conditioning. You don't have the most, you don't have an optimal immune system. We know this. Heaven forbid, if you're running a fever in the world that we currently live in, time and so many unknowns, we have a protocol in place where it's not going to be a judgment call. Kaylin, if it's you, I love you to death, brother. if your temperature is over, we can't let you compete. We have to have a strict protocol in place that cannot be compromised. Those are things that we are doing, just to preserve the integrity of the show and to give you the peace of mind. So Jeff Galani, I don't know if you know Jeff Galani from EFS Sports. 2 days ago, I got a huge pallet was delivered to the house. EFX actually shifted when they noticed a shortage of hand sanitizer. They shifted much of their production out in Montana to making hand sanitizer. We've all experienced the shortages. So every athlete will be getting hand sanitizer in their competitor bags. And, you know, because you've experienced it firsthand, I always try to make our competitor bags the best in the country. So that is going to be a great addition.
Amen.
Shout out to Jeff Galini and Brian Andrews over at EFX Sports. Mark and Katie Lobliner from MTS Integra Fitness sent us a massive shipment of, you know, product and swag for the competitors. We're looking out for you. I mean, we're not going to be bare bones. Like, if you choose to compete, which I hope you do, and I hate to say this because I am a purist of the sport, and I want to be competitive, and I want the best physiques on stage. But I want to be honest with you. If you, the athlete, no pressure, I mean, don't take this too – I don't want this to come off the wrong way, but it is really how I feel. If you want a sport to be here when all this is, you know, not over, but when we resume life, we need you. We do need you to compete. Even if you're at 80%, come and get some stage experience. Have some fun. Try out a new, you know, try something new, a new peaking method. You at 80% with the world that we live in right now, you could do some damage, you know?
Yeah.
I think this is going to be, I encourage people, don't give up on the 2020 season. For this fall, because it's the easiest thing to do. Times like this, this is what separates the competitors from the champions. It's times like this, overcome the adversity that we're all, you know, encountering. This is what makes true champions. And take it another step further. I know I'm running out of time, but take it another step further, Kaylin. The Natural Olympia this year, there's going to be some dark horses that, because everybody's, you know, we're all living the same, under the same circumstances, but if you don't lay off the gas pedal, I don't care if you're training at home, if you are spot on with your nutrition and you are putting everything you can into whatever type of exercise you are, honestly, I have a feeling we're going to have some competitors that I don't want to say no names because that's kind of but we're gonna have some dark horses that come out of nowhere, and they could take out some world champions because when it's so easy to lay off the gas pedal because we have so much other stuff going on, you know, this is gonna be an opportunity for some of our maybe second or third tier athletes or young up and comers to make a huge impact. You know, November 14th is the Natural Olympia. So I encourage you, do what you can. No matter what you're limited to, hit your nutrition, continue to exercise. Put everything into this. It's pretty much Rocky IV style. So in Vegas, November 14th, I want to see some the Rockies of our natural bodybuilding community come out and see what can be done. You know, even if it's body weight exercise. I mean, the human body, it's, you know, we keep it moving, it's going to respond. You know, so I'm really excited. I'm really excited for that. And I think in June, you may know what date it is, but I think it's June. But Generation Iron 4, do you know when that comes out, Kaylin?
No, I do not.
So I believe it's June. So everybody keep an eye on Generation Iron 4. They had their film crew following a handful of PNBA stars leading up to Vegas on the road to Natural Olympia. So that's coming out. It might not be sometime soon. You know, so we have so many exciting things coming out for the sport of natural bodybuilding. Natural bodybuilding is not over. Our sport's not over. 2020 is not a mulligan. I'm telling you, 2020 is going to be one of the most inspirational years in history for natural bodybuilding. So don't give up. Keep that positive momentum going, everybody.
It's going to be beautiful. And I love that we're ending the show on that note, because hope is a beautiful thing and it's a blessing. And anybody that teaches you to give up hope ain't really a true friend, and they don't have much love for themselves. So, you know, what Leaf said, times 10, don't give up on a year, don't give up on yourself, and don't give up on anything. Leaf, again, brother, it's always a pleasure. Dez, sorry we missed you. Hope, you know, everything's going okay. And for the boys,
love you, Dez.
Thanks so much for everything you do for us. Kaylin Patterson, Midwest Muscle, we are out.